Welcome to Inside Dirt, presented by ATVScene.com, your passport to the behind-the-scenes world of the WPSA Power Sports ATV Tour, the nation's leading ATV racing series. Inside Dirt is hosted by Mark Strawbanger and John Pellin.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Inside Dirt. This is John Pellin on my right. Everybody's favorite announcer, Mark Strawbanger, and we are coming at you from Raceway Park in New Jersey. This is round 9 of the WPSA ATV Power Sports Tour. Mark, how was it this weekend?
It was really great. You know, this is there was two races left, and we knew that the point chase was getting down to the wire, and it promised to be an exciting weekend, and man, did it keep its promise. The weather, man, we had all kinds of weather this weekend. We actually had to stop practice on Friday because of an updraft. We actually saw from the tower a tornado forming above the track. It was very spooky. We had to get everybody out. All the flagging staff came in, and we had rainstorms, and then of course we had beautiful fall-like weather as well. A crazy weekend as far as weather's concerned.
All the racing, though, was great. I mean, we never got rained out or anything, which is good, but as soon as we got done racing, it started raining real hard, so everything fit in. It's pretty cool that it worked out like that.
On Sunday, we made some adjustments in the schedule, so we're going to run the quad train challenge earlier in the day. We had decided to bump it to the last race of the day, and thank goodness we did, because just as soon as we lined up the quad train challenge, on the starting gate, it started to sprinkle, and by the time the race was over with, it was a pretty good downpour.
It's kind of cool, though, in a way, because those are the 4x4s, you know, a little mud doesn't hurt them, especially a guy like Chris Borch, who ended up winning it.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Good in the mud. Good exactly. GNCC mud rider of all, you know, rate him up there with one of the best mud riders ever, and maybe that's why he did so well. I think he was the only rider, we'll go to quad train first, I guess, that was on the lead lap. Am I right?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Actually, Farron and Robbie were looking back trying to find him, and I said, "Guys, you're looking at the wrong logjam. He's already up
right
at back to the second logjam there," and just a phenomenal ride by Chris Borch. And in fact, I believe Justin Anderson had a few words with Chris Borch, so maybe we'll go to that tape.
Not bad for a part-time guy out here just having some fun, huh? You're almost perfect this year.
I guess just that one bad race with the rear probably would have won them all, but the bike Can-Am and more racing than 650s is working awesome.
Talk about this race. This was a muddy, slippery, just crazy event out there.
Yeah, I mean, we were getting ready to go there, and it just came down raining pretty good, and just made everything a complete mess, made it all muddy, and the logs and the rocks were just unbelievable and pretty hard to get through.
What do you think, you know, when you're getting ready to start, when you start to see this rain, does that change the strategy in your head at all?
Not really, just try to get out front and be smooth and, like I said, just be smooth over the rocks and stuff, just keep momentum going and seem to work for me.
Well, this is probably going to be our last race with you this year. What do you have to say for Can-Am and for your experience over here at WPSA?
Just the Can-Am worked awesome, weren't racing, great team, and I'm glad to be part of it. That Can-Am came and picked me up to run these and got him a couple wins for him, so pretty happy about it.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Here's the podium for round number 9 of the Power Sports Tour Quad Train Challenge. It was Chris Borch taking the win. Second spot went to Scott Kilby and Jesse West, who was leading our points coming into this event, finished in third. Now, what's pretty interesting is this is Chris's 6th victory in 7 starts this season. Not bad for a guy that's just out there having some fun doing this.
Didn't he help Can-Am enormously today? I think, pretty sure he clinched the Manufacturer's Cup. Am I right?
Yes, he did. And in fact, this is the second consecutive cup for Can-Am in the Quad Train Challenge. And they've only been racing for 2 years. So this should make Can-Am real happy that they have clinched 2 consecutive cups since they've got back into the racing scene.
And because of Chris, I mean, he's got to be making Can-Am pretty happy with becoming the most winningest rider aboard the Can-Am, I would think. It's pretty good stuff. And, you know, it's kind of weird. We're talking about all the wins. I saw him up on the podium. He didn't know how many wins he had. He's just kind of like, I don't know. He couldn't even remember how many he had. It's kind of cool when you don't remember how many wins you have.
Well, you know what?
You win a lot, I guess.
Well, the shame is that he's not going to be competing in our final WPSA race. And, you know, he has certain obligations to another series that he's competing in. And, unfortunately, he told me today that he was not going to be able to make that. But, John, that's a possibility that, I mean, you know, we're going to be at the Field of Dreams, which is not too far from Unadilla.
Yeah, that's his home state. That's his home turf. It'd be cool if he could show up somehow, pull an Angela Butler, and end up, you know, winning two championships. If there's a way. I don't know. What are the points you have in front of you? I know we haven't tallied them all up. But
no, what I have, the points I have, of course, you folks, this podcast is recorded as soon as racing is done. So the points coming into this event, Chris was in fifth. Jesse West was in first place, of course. Scott Kilby was second. Third was Rory Beckman, Daryl Rath in fourth. But that was coming in to this weekend. And I don't have my internally built calculator that can figure that out. But Chris Borich is in contention to win a title here. So, John, are you challenging Chris to do this?
I guess so. I think it would be really cool if he could do it. I know his dad, Joe, he'll put the stuff in that trailer and they'll, like we talked to last time, and he'll haul butt over to Field of Dreams in PA and make it happen. I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up. He loves to ride. He comes off a GNCC win or something, might be happy, and just put stuff in the... You can be out of the GNCC at 4 p.m. and, you know, be at WPSA Saturday night. And, yeah, I'll miss some heat races, but it'd be cool to have him there. I like seeing him out there in the mud and rocks. And
all right, Chris, Chris Burris, that sounds like a challenge from John Pellin. And I about said John Natale, and John Natale did a great job today. As a matter of fact, Justin had some words with him after his podium.
It looks like you and I are becoming fast friends here, getting a kiss from Mom here. Another win and another close one here at the end. Talk about the race.
Man, you know, Chad Weenan is just an amazing athlete. He's in such good shape. You know, I could run his pace there for a while at the beginning, but towards the end I was just hanging on until I seen my mechanic wrote two laps to go, and I said, man, I went this far. I'm not going to give it up. So we just dug deep and pushed as hard as we could, and seen that white flag, and it gave me that little bit extra I needed to stay in front of him.
And grabbing the points lead last weekend, now you've padded it a little bit this weekend. What are your thoughts going into the last race at Field of Dreams?
My thoughts are I'm going to go home and I'm going to train real hard, and I'm going to come out in as good a shape as Weenan, and hopefully I'm going to whip his butt over there.
Going back home too,
yes,
in
sir.
Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, sir. Going back home where I'm from, my hometown, so I'm going to have a lot of fans there, and it's just going to rev me up. I'm ready to go.
Well, congratulations, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, coming into this weekend, the national point standings were Keith Little in fifth, Doug Gust in fourth, Chad Weenan in third place, Dustin Wimmer in second, and John Natale leading the points only by 2 points. Of course, that gap has been increased after this weekend, but it was a great start right from the very start of this, the main feature here today. Three riders going for the Whole Shot Award, the Quad Magazine Whole Shot Award. They actually had to review the videotape 3 or 4 or 5 times because it was so close. Travis Spader was just bonsaiing it on the outside, of course. Travis from the New Jersey area.
I got to talk to Travis before he did it. I knew he was going to try it because he was lined up in the end, and so was Cale Downing. And I guess Travis had talked a little bit with Cale. And they said, yeah, they're going for it. Screw the turn. We're just getting that whole shot. Well, it's kind of interesting that they almost did it, I guess. It was really close.
It was close. And like I said, it was Keith Little, Rocco Arno, and Travis Spader all vying for it. And it was like they said it was so close that it was like an inch difference between. But Little got the Whole Shot Award again. He's been collecting those, the Whole Shot King here.
Pretty respectable prize, by the way. $1,000 from Quad Magazine. That's pretty heads up.
That's a big chunk of change. That's what some other venues pay for wins.
Right. So that's what Keith is saying. He makes more just getting a Whole Shot coming here. It's kind of cool that there's a.
But when the checkered flag flew, John Natale took the win. Chad Weenan was in the number two spot, and Doug Gust in the third position.
Didn't they collide? You saw a little collision over there in the one of the heats. It was on the other side of the track.
Well, you know
what happened there.
John Natale and Chad Weenan were just dicing it out all weekend long. As you heard from his interview, John Natale said that he's going to have to go back home to Pennsylvania and really train, because he knows that Chad Weenan is in extremely good shape. Out of the view, when they drop out of sight on the backside, it's kind of interesting at this track for the spectators, because they drop out of sight for a few moments, and the excitement mounts as if they go in there close. Everybody stands up and like they're on their tippy toes, trying to see over the top side to see what's going on back there. And then, you know, as the leaders come back over, it's like you get this like adrenaline rush to see who's out front. But on the back side, Chad, in a heat race earlier today, Chad made a pass on Natale, and when he made the pass, he actually got a little bit out of shape, and actually his hands, one hand came off the bar. Natale passed him back, but John was not in really a race line, and Chad Weenan got back in the gas, and Chad was making a pass on the outside, and it was some pretty aggressive racing going on back there.
Well, the two of them are with Chad Weenan's football mentality and Iron Man. You don't even have to define John Iron Man Natale. It's I can imagine there's gonna be more battles like that. I bet those two are probably the WPSA's fiercest competitors. What about next year? What's your idea for John Natale? I don't think we're gonna see him on a Honda. Your opinion?
I don't have a clue, to be honest with you. John has always been kind of a lone wolf. You know, I've always said that about him. He's never been given anything. Everything John Natale has, he has earned. I think John Natale wouldn't even be racing right now if he wouldn't have run some of those indoor series. And but you know, his parents weren't really wealthy like some of these other racers, and John is and his family have earned everything that they've got. Like I said, they had to go to work, and like I said, if it wasn't for some of those indoor series, John wouldn't have probably would not be racing. So it's
gonna get exciting though with KTM, Can-Am, Kawasaki. He could be on that. It's gonna be kind of interesting to see where he's gonna be. I just got a hunch that we're not gonna see him on a Honda. I don't know, just my opinion.
Well, we're not done with this year. And,
right. I'm getting
Field of Dreams is coming up, and remember that next race is in John Natale's backyard. And Suzuki came to within 1 point of clinching the manufacturer's championship and needs only a start at the final at Pennsylvania to clinch its second title as well.
You know, Pennsylvania is tough for ATV racing. This could be the biggest turnout in WPSA's history. There's a lot of riders in PA, Ohio area. And, we do a Google analytic stats for ATVScene.com. And PA, California, Texas, nowhere close. Pennsylvania. There's more readers in Pennsylvania that log on to ATVScene than any other state. So it's kind of cool that we're going to go to PA instead of South Carolina, with all due respect to them. But that PA state is very heavy ATVing.
And well, I'll tell you what, man, looking at the grandstands today,
I know.
It looks like awesome? New Jersey has a lot of ATV fans.
Exactly, yeah.
And it was packed. I mean, both sides of the grandstands were slam-packed.
And they were on their feet the whole time.
It was absolutely phenomenal.
Was awesome.
And, you know, there's a lot of things went on this weekend, not just the ATV race. And, of course, Wes Miller and our friends with H-Bomb Films are here. And one of the riders doing a Caleb Moore actually doing a backflip ramp to ramp, and then he came back and did a backflip with I forgot the other gentleman's name, and it might come to me here in a minute, but he did a backflip, and following him was the second rider that did a cliffhanger. Now if he didn't complete the backflip properly, he would have gotten hit by the second rider because they were both in the air at the same time. And the crowd just went wild. It was awesome. You know, Wes Miller and the Bomb Squad.
I was talking to Wes about Caleb's backflips, and he could do them in his sleep. It's not a big deal. He can do it like routine. It's right. Well, you saw it. It's picture perfect. He lands like he's landing off of any old jump.
It's great. You know, and then, you know, to land on a ramp is one thing. Most of the people that do backflips land on dirt. You know, I mean, that's kind of the norm. And to land on a ramp is pretty... And the other gentleman's name is Christian, I believe.
Yeah. From overseas, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He definitely had a very thick accent. And a lot of things were going on this weekend.
Well, just to still stick with this for a second, the Bomb Squad was on Polaris quads, too. Did you see that?
Yes,
kind of interesting that they're backflipping Polaris. I never thought we'd see it, but they're saying they're light and they like snappy power. Kind of cool that Polaris was in there with on these Bomb Squad.
Yeah, and that was also, I believe, the ones with the independent rear suspension or not.
I think they're the new 500 Outlaws. I didn't get a close enough look like
I
should have.
Yeah, I was up in the tower. But
I was running today big time. I didn't check it out. But wasn't it cool to see, as soon as he did that flip and he saluted the crowd and everything, there he like raced off through the pits because his moto was about to start in the A-Class.
Yeah, that was
pretty cool.
Amazing.
So he does a flip, and then they're waiting for him at the gate. The gate drops right after that contest, and there he goes. I don't know how he ended up, but I know the day before, I guess his kill switch came off, and he ended up, they playing by the rules. I mean, if you got to abide by the rules, and he lost the championship, Caleb Moore did, because his kill switch came off. So, unfortunately, that went wrong with him, but he I don't know. It's unfortunate for him, but I feel bad. But, yeah, I was talking to George Cortes at Media All-Stars, and he was bummed out about it, but... Yeah, they're abiding by the rules, so that's the way it is.
Well, speaking of the Media All-Star team, Media All-Stars got together with Big Daddy Motorsports and Randy Pat and Breanne Hansen, and they fed probably about 500 people. They had a big dinner, and it was just a free dinner, and donations were accepted for the 88 Live to Ride to benefit the mobile medical unit. They raised almost $1,300. That was just thrown together. Also, Rocco Arno.
Well, wait a minute. Let's go to Rocco in a minute. Wasn't Stan Big Daddy Digby have something to do with that? That fundraiser?
Yeah, so was that Big Daddy Motorsports.
I didn't even hear you say that. I'm sorry. I was going to talk about Stan a little bit, too, because he impressed
the
hell
out of me. We can talk about Stan because he...
Is he on your list, too? He's on mine here.
We had a great time with Stan today. Stan Digby, for those of you that don't know him, he comes out of Fulton, Mississippi. And he is a he provides some of these racers with parts and products.
Which is invaluable. I think the series needs a hard parts vendor at every race. It's awesome to have him doing that.
Right, but he signed up to race the Quad Train Challenge. Well, you know, Stan hasn't probably rode in like a year or so. And Stan, now we have an unlimited amateur class there in the Quad Train Challenge, but Stanley signed up for the pro class.
Right on. Right there with Chris Porch and Biffle.
And I'm going to tell you what, at one time Stan was running in the number five position.
With more than half the race complete.
Oh, yeah. And there was one point when Stan was riding, and, when you're out there in the Quad Train Challenge, you really don't have a clue what place you're in. It's just a big jumble mess, and guys are out there, and Stan was actually in fifth spot at one point, and he actually was going along, and coming up behind him was Daryl Rath. So Daryl, of course, was coming on pretty strong, and Stan pulls over and let him by, and I actually think that Stan thought that he was getting lapped, but he was in front of Daryl Rath. Now, Stan's a big boy, weighs about 330 pounds. I had the crowd stand up and cheer.
Oh, I know. I got pictures of it. It's classic. I mean, he'd come over that line, and they were rooting for him like he was Chris Borch. It didn't matter. It was awesome.
He was having a good time out there, and I said, Stan, you should have, I said, you just let him pass you. And he's like, oh, Daryl would have passed me anyway. He always has a great attitude.
Oh, he does.
This has been a great weekend for Stan, his son taking a win.
Clinched it too. Jordan Digby.
Jordan Digby
won the national championship by our event early.
Right, so, in the 50cc 4 to 6 year old, cutest little boy you ever seen.
Yeah.
And a great little kid, and we're working on his interview skills, though.
And Big Daddy's a big part of our forums on ATVScene.com, too, so you got to love that. The guy will go ahead and get things going, and you know that I think that helped the fundraiser. He was able to talk and get people to know about it, and it's cool to have people that are vocal.
Yeah, so. And you know, also Rocco Arno, senior and junior, of course, from this area, Bridgeton, New Jersey, and they actually had right next to Digby's, they had a dinner going too, and of course Rocco's father-in-law always cooking all the time. Well, this time they took the weekend off. They had so many people there. They actually brought in a caterer this weekend.
Unbelievable.
And that, a great
that
job.
That family's something else.
This is one great family. And, you know, we want to thank PJ and the entire Raceway Park staff for another exciting and successful weekend. I actually did an interview with Mike Knapp, one of the owners of this facility, and we talked about the history. You know, that would have been a good person for Justin to interview about the history of this place. I mean, it's just phenomenal.
Well, you did a little, you talked to the guy a little bit up there.
Oh, yeah.
What was the highlight of the conversation?
Well, I was just asking him, you know, how did this all begin and all this stuff? And I also said, why do they call this English Town? It's really, actually, this is actually in Old Bridge Township. And he said, well, when they built this, there wasn't a post office in Old Bridge Township. It was actually in English Town, but now, of course, as the years have passed, English Town is actually in a whole different county. So it's really Old Bridge Township. So that's kind of what we call this Old Bridge Township Raceway. But just talking about all the history here and the announcer's tower that I was announcing out of, it's in very good condition and it has the slanted windows and everything. That was actually the original drag strip announcer's tower, and they moved it over here from the drag strip. It was built in 1965. You go down there, there's the Kawasaki Racing Champions was held here for years. Robbie Raynard, Mike LaRocco, I believe Kodowski. There's a bunch of jerseys in there, a lot of old photos, trophies. I mean, there's a lot of history in this place. And
they also had some million-dollar transporters going through here pulling dragsters, too. I think they were running drag cars. Man, you guys missed it if you didn't show up to this round. There was all kinds of stuff to do.
You know, this facility is amazing. We've got an airport here. We have a world-class water ski lake, a drag strip, two motocross parks, and a, I guess you call it a Grand Prix-style autocross course over here. It's just phenomenal, man. This place is just awesome. And his father actually was flying and was a pilot back a long time ago in the 40s, and they were flying over looking for a piece of land to purchase and make an airstrip and stuff. So this is the largest parcel of land in New Jersey that's owned, you know, by one group, and as far as available,
man,
for motorsports.
Really?
So
wow.
Yep.
You know, I was going to ask you, you kind of made the news, too. We're talking about sidebar to the actual racing, off-the-track stuff.
Right.
What did you and Jennifer Rath do this weekend about those neck collars or something?
Yeah, well, you know, in the past we've had auctions for riders and stuff, fundraisers. And Jennifer Rath and I said, wouldn't it be nice to do just have a fundraiser for a good cause like rider safety? And you know, we said, yeah, we need to definitely put something together. Well, of course, we started the Austin Miller Always Remembered program, and we kind of tied that together. And every kid that signed up in our 6 to 11-year-old classes got a free neck brace. 611 went to bat. We actually were...
Don't those cost hundreds of dollars each?
No, they're not that expensive.
Okay.
They're about $40 to $50.
All right. Still.
We offered to buy them in bulk. That's what we were trying to raise money for. And anyway, that's what happened. As we just started searching around, we're going to buy 50 collars to give to those children, and 611 stepped up to the plate and just donated them all.
Well, good for you for making it all happen. That's awesome. See, that's the stuff that nobody really knows about, that most announcers aren't doing. you know, going the extra mile, they go home and they're watching TV. Yeah, it's cool that you stepped up and made
that
happen.
There's a lot of people that work here, and that's our main feature. This weekend, our main feature.
You never
feature
know. You might have saved the little kid's life because he's going to crash someday, and, you know, he's got that neck brace, so it's awesome.
Well, thanks, John, but I'm not the only one that works hard here. This weekend, our feature segment examines the underdogs of the WPSA Power Sports ATV Tour, its operations staff. You know, many people don't know that the WPSA has people on the ground the Sunday before each race, and they work hard to dress and build each track and facility.
Well, this segment, we're going to talk to a guy named John Gross. He's just been named the operations manager, I believe.
Yes, he is.
And Justin had a conversation with him. We get to learn a little bit on
here with John Gross, race operations director for the WPSA Power Sports ATV Tour. John, a lot of people show up at these events and see these well-dressed venues, and the track is built, and they're just ready to go out racing. I don't think a lot of them really realize what goes into this leading up to the event. I guess take us through what you and your operations staff go through on a typical race week.
We unload 253-footers of signage for all of our sponsors and pretty much go to town. Long days, 12, 14-hour days is not, and it happens every day. And weather, in the rain, in the hail, it doesn't matter what it is, it's got to get up. Sponsors pay for what they get up, and if it's not up, then we're not doing our job right. So we're out there just getting everything done to make it look good.
So it's about delivering value for the sponsorship's dollars.
Well, for the sponsorships and the fans, I mean, it looks good for the fans, and the sponsorships like it too.
Now, when it comes down to going into the event, your job's not done after you put in a week's worth of work either, is it? You guys work your butts off during the race weekend.
Yeah, it's pretty much 9 days of working. It's the week before, then everyone packs up their wheelers and all whatnot, and they go home, and we go home on Tuesday. So we're here 2 more days. I love the heat. It's always nice to sweat it out. And the people here are awesome. It's great. Everyone smiles usually. But it's all around good time. I like it.
Talk about your crew a little bit. These guys really put in some time for you, don't they?
Yeah, I got a really good crew. They never talk back. It's always I ask them to do something and they get right to it. They make my job easy, pretty much. So those guys, it's not just me that does it all. I got 4 or 5 other guys that do more work than I do. I'm just in charge of where to put it and all that good stuff. But yeah, they work.
And this event, your time on the road isn't exactly over even after this event, because you guys are headed out to Field of Dreams here tomorrow to go look at the venue and start getting that place set up for the next race.
That's right. I might be losing a couple of my guys. They got to go back to college, but I'll have to find a couple of replacements. So if any of you guys want a job for a week, give the office a call. It's not easy, though, so prepare to sweat.
Well, John, we appreciate your time, and why don't you go ahead and get back out there. I'm sure you got some core plots and some signs to hang out there.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, I always get a kick out of John. He's the guy that makes the Quad Magazine Whole Shot Award, dictates the line. So he'll get out his paint can and he'll make that big long stripe. So I figured, man, I'll put my camera down in the dirt and take a picture of it. It's pretty darn cool because in the background it's got the Quad Magazine banners, And then I staged a little bit. I had him smile for the camera. It's a pretty cool shot, though. I kind of like it. And the guy's awesome. I don't know if you know him very well, Mark, but he's a really cool dude.
Yeah, actually, I saw him with a paint can in his hand as well, putting down the whole shot technology rock and roll award as well. But
right. Well, when I was trying to take the picture of the paint can, he was like, he wouldn't pull the trigger on it. I wanted paint to come out of the paint can. But he was like, John, come on, paint, get that thing to squirt some paint. Anyway, he's awesome. And, you know, I can kind of relate to what he's saying there about having a great crew behind you. And he's kind of not trying to take any of the credit, because I too have a great crew. I mean, I think we've got this whole thing down, and you know, we've got Brad Dedon, Joe Toll, we've got Harry Starr doing pictures. We got you on my right here doing the podcast. Justin Anderson getting quotes for us out there. I think I can totally relate. It's all about a good crew behind you, and he's spot on. And they really have one here at WPSA.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, they've got those two 53-foot curtain sides. Those are semi-trailers, for those of you that don't know. And they are actually here for like 9 or 10 days. They arrive here. They're the first ones here and the last ones to leave. And, you know, he's a hard worker. You always see him out there doing a great job. He's got a good crew. And, you know, he's talked about it being kind of a carny lifestyle. Well, it is. You live on the road and you travel, and that's just like anybody, that even all these racers. You get out here, you put on a show, and you pack up and leave, and you meet each other, you know, a couple of weeks later.
He was talking about all these banners and stuff they put up. You've been around races for a long time, too. What about these guys that go out and steal banners? I've had it done at my races, too. Is John behind that? Is he trying to stop people from stealing? Is that a problem here at WPSA?
No, we really haven't had any problem with that. You do have some banner theft, but I think the people that... You don't have racers steal banners. It's local people that want to steal a banner. You know what's really stupid is that they usually take them home rolled up. They might hang them in the garage, but I'd say 90% of the banners that are stolen are just kept rolled up and stuck up on a shelf and thrown away 10 years later.
It sucks, because once one guy does it, everybody else thinks, oh, we can go take the banners. But it's good that that's not happening here at WPSA. So, well, anyway, you want to wrap it up, Mark? Or?
Well, you know, we're talking about lifestyle on the road, and we're going to be back on the road again. Folks, you are invited to the Power Sports ATV Tours National Awards Banquet to be held at the Field of Dreams Motocross Park on the evening of September 16, 2007. The cocktail hour begins at 5 p.m. and dinner will be served at 6. The award ceremony will begin at 6:30, and we're going to be awarding all pro and amateur classes up to 5th place and all youth classes up to 10th place. So definitely don't want to miss out on that. It's a lot of fun. Everybody gets to sit back, relax. You go in there, take a shower, put on some nice clothes, and, you know, just it's a great time. You definitely want to be part out of it. And speaking of being part of this event, this race will be featured on ESPN2 on September 14th at 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And, ladies and gentlemen, the next race for the WPSA Power Sports ATV Tour is the Grand Championship National, scheduled for September 15th and 16th at the Field of Dreams, about 2 hours east of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Another smashing success from yet another WPSA event. Before we wrap it up, you might have heard earlier in the podcast a loud engine. That was an actual airplane that flew over us while we were recording this podcast. Unbelievably, only seconds later, it ended up crashing. So we had a plane crash while we were doing this podcast, and we had a lot of emergency vehicles whizzing by us right there, and that was the reason for all that noise that you may have heard. But I'm happy to say that both the pilot and his wife are safe and sound. They were uninjured. He pulled out of it and smashed into a chain link fence, I guess, cushioned his blow. But I'm really happy to report that there was no injuries, and we had a plane crash in the middle of our podcast. But anyway, all's well that ends well. And for Mark Straubinger, I'm John Pellin, and this was Inside Dirt.